at Memory Mentalist.
The pain of losing a loved one is never easy. At Triantel, we understand that burying loved ones with dignity truly matters. Our funeral plans pay out cash within just 24 hours, and you receive 200 rand airtime when you claim. Plus, we cover up to 13 people on one plan. SMS SAFM to 48031. That's 48031. Triantel Life is an authorized FSP and licensed life insurer. T's and C's online, standard rate supply.
Every day, Rand Water's underground pipelines run through servitudes across the country, carrying millions of liters of water to our communities. But when people build too close, it's called encroachment, and it's very dangerous. If a pipeline bursts, it can flood homes, destroy property, and in many cases, people lose their lives. That's why Rand Water marks its servitudes with blue and white beacons, a clear warning to stay clear and safe. When we protect Rand Water's servitudes, we protect our communities too. Rand Water, finding new ways.
So you thought you were building a business in this economy, but day by day, somehow it grew. You kept going when the freezer didn't freeze, the bucket didn't budge, and the bank balance barely blinked. So you thought you were building a business. You weren't. It was building you. Because this isn't just what you do anymore. It's who you are. And you don't trust just anybody to protect it. Chat to your broker about Old Mutual Insure Business Insurance. Protect what built you. Old Mutual Insure Limited is a licensed FSP and non-life insurer.
The Recap on Top Sport with Michael Abramson.
So just our quiz question again, a quiz question which has stumped my listeners for the last three shows. Let's see how you do tonight. Four teams I'm giving you in Group A, they all have something in common, and I'll give you a clue. It's to do with their names rather than anything else. Nothing with colors, nothing with kits, nothing with home venues, nothing with anything like that, or results, or any of that stuff. It's to do with the names of the teams. So what do the following four teams have in common? West Ham, Coventry, Swansea, and Zesco, the Zesco who played Chiefs yesterday in Zambia. And then in the other group are the teams that don't have that same thing in common. So let's see if you know what these teams have in common. Highlands Park, West Brom, Orlando Pirates, TX Galaxy, Plymouth Argyle, Brighton and Hove Albion, Orbit College, Keswick Stars, Blackburn Rovers, Nottingham Forest, and plenty of others. So what do the teams in Group A have in common that the teams in Group B do not have, and vice versa? Let's see if you can get that right. I really want to give you the answer tonight. 0860 002032 or 0614 104 107. That's for text messages or voice notes. You can X us at SAFM Radio or X me at Memory Mentalist. So much happening in the cricket world. A very, very successful SA20 came to an end with a dramatic and brilliant final yesterday in Cape Town. It was won in the end by the Sunrisers Eastern Cape, who looked as if they were going to fall well short. But two world-class players, Matthew Brietske and Tristan Stubbs, taking the side to victory against all odds after Diewald Brewis had set up the most astonishing inning, scoring about two-thirds of his team's runs, and looked as if he had taken Pretoria Capitals potentially to their first success. But the man who's been keeping an eye on the whole tournament for us, and indeed keeping a watchful eye on who's performing where and what has been happening after all these matches have taken place, is our cricket correspondent, Kevin Rademacher. Kevin, great to have you back on the show. Good evening and thank you for your time.
Pleasure. Good evening, Michael, and to your listeners. Haven't spoken to you for a while. And yes, you're correct. It's a bit of a pity the competition is over. It was a wonderful 4 weeks. But I guess we move on to the West Indies series and the World Cup soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just stay with the series for a while. And you and I both got it horribly wrong on day one when we had a chat about it. And we thought that Cape Town and Durban were the two franchises to watch because of their astonishing batting lineups. And ironically, those were the two sides who fell out of the equation, didn't make it to the knockout. Just shows you this sort of tournament and the format, the way it's played. Anybody can beat anybody.
Cricket is such a funny game. And I don't think me and you were the only people who predicted those teams to get to the final. Definitely, even the betting odds was massively on them. To my defense, I did say, and I still got it on the recording, don't count out the Pretoria Capitals.
You did.
However, you did. I think the Sunrisers surprised everyone. They didn't have the big names like the other teams, But what a team effort, and when it mattered most, the two Eastern Cape boys came through for them.
Let me ask you about somebody behind the scenes at the Sunrisers Eastern Cape who's been getting a lot of plaudits from cricketing people who really know their stuff. I'm talking about Adrian Birrell. Just the work that he's done with that franchise. They've been in the final every single year. They've won three of them, run it up last year. Some might argue that they potentially could have won it last year as well. But just what makes this franchise so successful? Is it the culture that Adrian Birrell has instilled in the team and in the players and in the support staff?
I think you nailed it on the head, but there's also a couple of other stuff. He has incredible cricket knowledge, great man management skills, and he's got a great supporting team. It's not just him. I actually shared something today where, and I think a lot of people have seen it over the last couple of years, where he is instructing the team members, the players, to be decent human beings. You see, he does not want great players but bad human beings. They need to give respect to all the people who work within the franchise, whether you're a cleaner or whether you're the CEO. And Spuds also said it, is they try to make this the best month for the overseas players. People, obviously, that can contribute, like Johnny Best, and make it an encouraging and a welcoming environment for them so that they want to perform for the jersey. But he is an unbelievable coach. I'm a little disappointed that after proving himself for years and years and years, he didn't get the white ball Proteas team. However, they decided obviously not to give it to him, which is a little bit disappointing because, like you say, he's been super successful in the 4 years.
Just look back on the tournament for me and just pick out some key moments. Of course, yesterday, if you look at it, we had a proper final. It wasn't a low-scoring affair where a team were reduced to 7 for 5 as we saw the other day at the Wanderers, or where we had a really ridiculously high-scoring matches as we had at the beginning of the tournament in round one, or some very low-scoring matches on slow pitches in Paarl in particular. But this was a proper final. Could really have gone either way, and I suppose it's a fitting way to end a tournament of this nature.
It was a brilliant ending. People thought that Pretoria Capitals were probably done and dusted at 2-for-1. Brevis walking early. You know, he's had a lot of problems with the short ball and the new ball. They put in an amazing partnership, him and Parsons. Looked like Brevis was batting on a total different pitch. From the very first ball he came in, he was in line, and the ball pinged from the bat, and he didn't put a foot wrong. I do believe, however, though, he got out with 2 overs to go, playing a strange shot. I think he lost a bit of concentration after getting the 100. He was playing so well straight. That cost him, as the Capitals only scored 3 runs in the last 2 overs, including a double maiden wicket for the second last over. If they scored 15, 20 runs in those 2 overs, the game would have probably been finished. No one has ever chased more than 175 at Newlands, batting second. They fell short. Everyone once again thought that the Sunrisers were done and dusted after losing 4 wickets for 40-odd. And then what a brilliant composed innings by the two Eastern Cape boys. As a fan of Pretoria Capitals, I was extremely disappointed. But as a fan of the Proteas, and I know how much effort Stubbs has put in, and Brietzka, for them to come through, what an unbelievable day.
Just how important is a tournament like this for South African cricket in terms of unearthing young talent, just bringing names to the fore and giving them the experience of playing against some top international names? We look at what the IPL has done in India. We look at what the Big Bash has done in Australia. This is doing pretty much the same thing for South African cricket.
It's doing exactly the same thing. We are getting a lot of youngsters coming through, bowlers like Mokoena, who was high up on the wicket list, 13 wickets, 23 average, economy of 9 runs and over. No one even knew about him today. But it's also bringing all the people back, even Hartesfullian, 12 wickets, an average of 11.6. So not only are the young people coming through, but they're mixing it with the experienced players, people who really have been around all around the world. Gideon Peters, who bowled the 18th over for the Titans, who really struggled to even let the ball loose of his hands, was a shining player as well with 9 wickets. It's important that these people rub shoulders with the elite of the world. That's the only way that we'll prepare them for international cricket and obviously also for the World Cups. I was speaking to a couple of players in this last week, guys I've known for quite a long time, Ruben Herrmann and Donovan Ferrer, And the strange thing is, they cannot hold this tournament in higher regard. They both said to me that they play for their band of brothers, that both their coaching and their management team have made this a really unique experience where everyone feels part of something bigger. And I think that goes a long way for people to love the game and people wanting to perform at that level.
Kevin, let me ask you the same question I asked JP Duminy last week on the show. I'm interested in your answer and whether it's the same as his or has some sort of a nuanced difference in it. When you have a tournament where you have six teams competing, they play round-robin matches. Statistically, if you work it out, six permutation two, you get 30, which is the 30 round-robin matches, and then you go into the knockout stage of the competition. Now, do you feel that with only six teams competing in the round-robin stage, to have four of them advancing is maybe a bit too many, and therefore it gives teams who maybe don't do particularly well in the round-robin stage but maybe sneak through into fourth place a chance potentially of winning the tournament, even though on their form in the round-robin phase of the competition they perhaps don't deserve to be there? Whereas on the opposite hand, if you look at it, it does create a very, very exciting format where the teams that end one and two have two chances to get into the final, and the teams that end three and four still have a crack at it. So it makes it exciting in the final week. So my question to you is, where do you sit in terms of this in a six-team tournament?
I did hear JP Duminy's interview, but I will give you my opinion anyway. If it was up to me and I'm going to write an article about it, I would like this tournament possibly to be a week shorter. I do think it goes on a bit long. I think you've got a good point of maybe reducing the playoff games. I would still have a semi-final. I understand the reasoning behind the three knockout games is to give those people who came first and second a second option. Sitting at those games and those knockout games, it just doesn't feel like a semi-final. It feels like even if you lose the game, you have another chance. Where that's what makes the World Cups unbelievable, whether it's rugby, soccer, or cricket, is that you lose and you're immediately out. I would also have more double headers at certain venues, which will reduce the production cost. But I agree with you, Michael. I do think possibly letting four teams in to the knockout stage of the 16 tournament is probably too much. However, there's money to be made, there's TV rights, and there's that whole commercial aspect to it as well.
Absolutely. So, Kevin, let's talk briefly about the T20 series, South Africa against the West Indies. We're barely out of one tournament. We're into another series, such is life. Of course, match tomorrow in Paarl and then Thursday at Centurion and Saturday at the Wanderers. And that's pretty much all that's left domestically, internationally for the men, as far as this summer is concerned. Of course, the women still have a series, ODI and T20 against Pakistan coming up in February. But just look ahead to this tournament in terms of the players who performed recently now in this Betway SA20 and players who have a little bit of form. What are we expecting from this? What can Shukri learn from his team ahead of World Cups and other tournaments to come?
It's just about trying to get the combinations together. We already know quite a lot about the team that Shukri wants in the World Cup. We know he wants to start ultimately with Markram, Quinton de Kock. We know that he's putting his chips down on guys who can win the games for him on their own, Miller, Brevis, possibly even Smith. And we know that he loves all-rounders. We know that he wants to include Linders and the Boshes and the Maharajas, and that he believes that is going to be the key to winning this World Cup. Not too many surprises in the World Cup squad at this point or in the West Indies series. But I think it's just about once again, just building little building blocks. Brevis has got his confidence up high. He's trying to work out the game. It's about getting in three more matches to make sure he goes into the World Cup with confidence. Possibly Miller will be back for one of the games. And to see those combinations, how does Mapaka bowl up front and at the end? How will Bosch go bowling at the end as well and fitting into the number eight position? And just trying out the combinations. I don't think there's much he can learn. He knows his players inside and out. They've been in and out of the squad. So it's just getting that confidence and making sure that they're ready.
And I suppose also good news from a South African point of view, a lifeline for Ryan Rickleton, a lifeline for Tristan Stubbs. Unfortunately, no lifeline for Othniel Bartman as far as that World Cup squad is concerned. But you never know what could still happen ahead of that tournament. But I suppose it just does just show the embarrassment of riches that South African cricket has at the moment.
guess we could have put another two teams together. Ruben Houtman is also in the West Indies squad as cover for Miller, and he is standing by. It is really disappointing for Neil Bartman. He was stating in a press conference that I was with the other day that he didn't really even know how to improve. No one has spoken to him. The coaches didn't speak to him to tell him why he missed the World Cup and how he can improve. I feel sorry for guys like that. Like I said, at last week's game, Donovan Ferreira came to support his JSK team. He was actually shattered. He heard on that morning that he wasn't going to be ready for the World Cup. And these guys work tirelessly to try and make this team. It's in India. It's a massive opportunity to be seen by all the competitions around the world. And this was their chance just to be taken away. So it's extremely sad. However, we've got a strong team. Rickleton, people cried for him to be in. He's in. And Stubbs is probably finding great form and confidence as well. So it might work out for us in the end.
If I think back to very early on, probably over 20 years ago, when that World Cup squad was announced, I remember South Africa were playing a test match in Durban. Graham Smith was left out of the team, and circumstances conspired. There was an injury or two. He got into the team, and he had a phenomenal World Cup going forward. So let's hope the same thing happens to Ryan Rickleton. Kevin, thanks so much, as always, for chatting to us. We'll do it a lot more times. I know you and I, hopefully, if Norwich Middlesbrough doesn't get in the way on Saturday, I should see you at DP World Wanderers this coming Saturday for cricket, and maybe even at Centurion on Thursday night. Who knows? We'll see how things pan out. But thanks, as always, and look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Thank you, Michael. And just before you go, good luck to your team today who's playing Coventry, like in your quiz. And hard luck to Len, who obviously Arsenal didn't make it yesterday.
Yeah, I had a very depressing day because I've got a nephew in England who was at the game. He's a big Arsenal fan. I've got a wife at home who's a massive Arsenal fan. I've got a producer here in studio who's a massive Arsenal fan. And I've got a father-in-law who's a Man United fan. So put it all together. Sure. I just stay in a different room when those two sides play each other. I think it's the easiest. But great to chat to you, mate. We look forward to another chat sometime soon.
Thank you very much. And thank you to the listeners.
That's Kevin Rademeyer chatting to us about all things cricket. So as he says, tonight, starting at 10 o'clock South African time, I cannot wait. It is Norwich City, fresh from a 5-0 win at the Hawthorns against West Brom last Tuesday night. They've just signed a young defender, left back, on loan from Man United, Harry Amass, who might be part of the starting lineup tonight. And there's talk that they're signing a player from Brentford in the midfield also today. So we'll see if that does materialise or not. But they're taking on top of the table Coventry, who, however, haven't won any of their last five away games. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm keeping eyes and ears glued on the screen from 10 o'clock this evening. So hopefully I'll have some good news to share as far as my team is concerned with my listeners tomorrow evening. I'm delighted also to tell you we have a correct answer. Dennis Desar, well done to you. You have my answer correct. I'm going to repeat the quiz question again for you and see who else